And speaking of elegant ladies, I have been joined in studio by etiquette coach Patricia Mabry. Patricia is based in West Cork, although she will be coming to Kerry later on this month for a very special event in Killarney. And we thought it was a great opportunity to bring her into studio and talk to us about etiquette. And maybe some of you out there might have a few questions for her about etiquette. Patricia, it's lovely to meet you. How are you?
I'm very good. And thank you so much, Deirdre, for inviting me here today. And lovely to be in the kingdom. So thank you so much.
Great. Well, you're very welcome to our kingdom.
Thank you.
And what got you interested in etiquette day one, Patricia?
So day one, I have my dear late man Mary to thank because she was a very elegant woman. And she was very good in the kitchen and icing wedding cakes, etc. And very glamorous. And I suppose because I'm a middle-aged lady, etiquette, we kind of absorbed it growing up as opposed to kind of the grey areas. Now it was very black and white when I was a young girl. So I suppose we were reared very nicely and elegantly and we knew our manners from an early age. And my dear late dad, we had a butcher shop in Macroom Town and we'd have to pass through to the dwelling part of the house from the shop after school, so Daddy would always say, be sure and say hello to the customers. So we were networking at age 7 to 8 before networking was a word, you know. So it's down to my dear late man, Mary, really, that I have the grow for having nice things and my granny's because we had the tablecloth, everything was presented lovely. You always said hello to Mrs X down the road, so all of that. And then I felt there was a need. Sometimes people generalise and say people, youngsters have bad manners. I disagree with that. People of all age group, we have fantastic youngsters out there. People of all age group, you know, could have a polish up on their manners, in my opinion. But I just felt the very basics of standing up when somebody enters a room, shaking hands, smiling, saying please and thank you. And of course, then you have the table manners that really need a little fine tuning, in my opinion. So it all got me started in that then, Deirdre.
And what kind of people might need an etiquette coach?
So the clients I have are very varied. So I have young professionals who come who just want to literally perhaps know how to prepare for an interview, how to sit elegantly, sort of sophisticated verbiage as they could maybe better their chances in an interview by saying perhaps like lovely to chat with you, but they might say a pleasure to engage in conversation with you, just small tiny little things. And instead of saying I hope to hear from you, they might say I hope you look favourably on my request, I would really love to work at your premises, etc. So it's about teaching people tiny little aids, I suppose, so that they might present calm, composed. And I teach confidence because it can be learnt. I have various, I've ladies groups. I do training in hotels for the staff, you know, about their uniform presentations, again, about, you know, greeting clients, receptional duties, all of that. And also then I have lovely fun nights. I have people in my home or I go to their home for elegant hen soirees as opposed to maybe the stets and hats and the boots aren't for every young lady getting married, you know. And I also have gentlemen, so it's not just confined to the ladies.
You mean like a hen party, but not a hen party?
No, it's called an elegant hen soiree. So we like to up the little verbs there now and up the wording. So yes, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Lovely. It is, and it means that they can bring Nana and Auntie as well then, because it's a lovely sit down at either my home or theirs, and I go through lovely little bits of etiquette of interest because I cover various modules. So it's lovely, and they're always very happy with it because it's kind of nice, cosy afternoon or our event.
And as you say, no stets and hats or cowboy boots or drunken behaviour.
No, and that's fine. If that's for some, that's fine. We won't knock anybody. Everybody's entitled to their night out. But for some, this is a nicer approach for some.
Yeah, you know, it's great to hear somebody talk about the old-fashioned way things were, because we've become very casual in everything nowadays, haven't we? And we've kind of let standards slip, I feel, a bit. Would you agree?
I would agree totally. Totally, we've let standards slip from just smiling at somebody. You know, courtesy was in the shops, especially coming up to the run-up to Christmas now. The staff are probably on extended hours. Be polite to the staff. You know, don't get narky with them if they're taking their time trying to find something for you or something like that. It's about showing respect. That's what etiquette is, a big term, but the essence of it is manners, which is about kindness and respect to others and respecting others. So, you know, you have to spread kindness wherever you go. It has become very grey now. It's nice to see people saying thank you to those that wait on them in the restaurants, maybe say thanks to the bus driver, maybe to be civil on the roads with parking spaces, maybe, you know, don't try and cut in ahead of somebody. So you've all that, especially coming up to the Christmas rush as well, just to think of others, I think perhaps is nice.
Patricia, does it all start in the home? Does it start when children are young, ingraining that sense of respect and respect them and the importance of having your manners?
It does. It does. It does. And that's why as society changes, Deirdre, so too etiquette has to evolve and adapt. So, like, of my age group, the mother was at home, she wasn't working. Society changes, now both parents might be working. So therefore, you know, there's not that, I suppose, discipline at home, maybe, if you want a better word, but that might be a harsh word. But the norm slightly has gone from my time when we knew black and white, now it's grey. So I believe we have to return. I'm trying to revisit what I believe is the lost art of etiquette. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's beautiful. It's lovely to go to the restaurant and know how to use your napkin and which knife is which. And I just love it. And it's nice to send a thank you card after receiving a gift. It's nice to stand up when somebody enters a room. It's nice to shake hands politely and look at somebody and smile as you do so. So these are tiny things, but they're huge. They're huge. They make all the difference in an interview or meeting somebody. And that is what I teach. You know, I'm just passionate about it because, you know, you have to engage with somebody like I'm here this evening with you. If I was sullen and my demeanour and my posture was slunking here in the chair, you'd say I'm not interested. You know what I mean? We're here making eye contact, we're smiling at each other, and it's all lovely. So it's about being kind to others, basically.
Now, just a couple of things that struck me when I knew you were coming in. One of them was mobile phone etiquette, because it seems to me that mobile phones have taken over our lives and people are taking them out in trains, they're taking them out on buses, in restaurants, they're everywhere. Is there anything about mobile phone etiquette or lack of that particularly annoys you?
Well, I think it's lack of. If you're going to somebody's home or you're invited to their home, they might have a no phone policy and you respect that. Just supposing we were out for dinner at your home, Deirdre, and I brought up my phone without asking and I posted a picture on social media. That's so not nice to do. It's a negative. You shouldn't do it. I know a lot of homes, they might have a no phone policy as you come in the door. Also, if you're in a restaurant, it's impolite to have your phone on at the table. There should be no phones on the table, no handbags, no lipsticks, no briefcase, nothing at all like that, or the keys of the car. So the phone should be on silent and put away when you're engaging in conversation with those around you. You're out for a meal and the phone can wait for the 2 hours without doubt. You know, so I think it's rude. You're on public transport. People are on the phone. We all hear the conversations, you know. We all know what's happening with they think they're in a private conversation because halfway through that phone call, they seem to just continue on. You know, they don't even say, I'm on the train, I'll ring you back. So definitely, I think phones should be silenced a lot of time. Of course, they're important. We have to have them. But the whole social media is gone a little bit too far in my respect of snapping and taking photos. People should always ask. There is a thing called digital decorum. Ask before you post, ask, may you share, and all of the above.
Now, talk to me a little bit about, since you brought it up about restaurants, I'm just thinking out loud here. We'll say everyone gets their starter. This one I always find a bit funny. There's a group of us together, and two of us have got their starters and two more haven't arrived and there's a big delay. Now, always, you know, the rule is generally that you don't start eating until everybody around the table has got their starter. But sometimes it might take ages for the other two starters to come out and you're starving.
Yes.
What's the correct thing there?
So the correct thing there is there are six of you sitting down, four have the starters, you're waiting on two. So it's really, it is polite for the two that are waiting on their starters to say, ladies, start without us, please, because my starter might be warm and it would be going cold. So that would be the ideal, really. You wouldn't wait because it's just manners to say, girl, start ahead of me, you know, we'll be fine, we'll get ours when it comes
out. But wait until they give you the cue to do that.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. And I mean, if everyone is sitting down the table together, you would wait for your host, or, you know, your guest in somebody's house, you would wait for your host to start picking up their utensils before you do. You'd wait for them to start. Or if you were invited out for lunch, you would wait for the person who invited you to start before you'd start. But in the situation then that you're waiting, it's perfectly permissible to say, we're happy to wait, please girls, eat away, otherwise your starter will get cold.
No elbows on the table?
Absolutely, no. The only joint on the table is the Sunday roast. No elbows on the table, absolutely. You may rest your wrists just ever so slightly at the edge of the table, but no elbows on the table.
Okay. The napkin. What's the
napkin is my favourite. I love the napkin. It comes from a French word, napier, meaning cloth, and kin, meaning small. So it's a small cloth. So your napkin is not the kitchen towel and it's not a bit of the kitchen roll. And the minute you sit down at the table in a restaurant, you put your napkin on your lap. Whereas if you're a guest in somebody's house, you wait until your host is seated with her napkin first in her lap or his, and then you place yours. You follow the lead of your host. So the napkin is lovely and you place it full fold it in two and you place it with the fold part towards your waist, which means then you have an open bit down at the end. You'd have to kind of see it in practice. But supposing you were eating something, then your napkin is there for to just, you know, keep your clothes clean and to dab at your lips. So if you had something, we'll say like chocolate mousse at the side of your mouth and you wanted to clean it, you'd lift up the top part of the napkin, dab with the lower part, and then the top part covers it again. So it means that the person sitting adjacent to you doesn't see your napkin nasty with chocolate mousse.
Here's one that, for some bizarre reason, annoys me, Patricia. I was taught that when you finish your main course, or indeed any course, you place your knife and fork to the left of the plate together. That's what I learned growing up. But I see it all the time. If you ever see an empty table that hasn't been cleared yet in a restaurant or whatever, the knife and fork are just thrown down any old way.
You've had a great rearing, I'll tell you that now. Well done, Deirdre.
My mother's listening now. She's delighted.
Well, congratulations to your lovely mum. You are correct. So there's a thing called the silent service code. And once you pick up your utensils, your knife and fork from the dining table, they never again touch the dining table. They always rest on your plate, and there's a thing called the silent service code. And you are correct. If you imagine your dinner plate like the clock on the wall, 12 o'clock up high and 6 down low, then when you're finished, your knife and fork are parallel at 12 and 6 o'clock on your plate when you're finished. And that indicates to your server, your waiter, that you're finished and they may take your plate. And incidentally, the tines of the fork here, I'm kind of versed in Western etiquette. The tines of the forks, which are the little prongs, as I used to know them long ago, the tines, they're facing up, and the blade of the knife always faces the centre of your dinner plate. However, if you were resting and you were taking a break, Deirdre, during your meal, you would place your knife with the blade facing in. You'd have your knife at about 4 o'clock and you'd cover it with your fork. You'd cover the blade of the knife with the fork at about 8 o'clock, and that's just to show that you're resting.
Okay, you're just having a breather.
Exactly.
Letting the food digest.
And your serving staff will know that, the silent service code. But it's lovely. And again, they would do it differently. Like in the US of A, they would have it at a slight angle, sort of at about 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock. They would rest their cutlery like that.
What about when you need to leave to go to the bathroom? Obviously, you don't just announce to everyone, I'm off to the loo.
People do, but you don't. So you just say, ideally, you should, you know, perhaps have gone to the loo before you went in to dine, etc. But if you need to go to the loo, nobody wants to know about your bodily functions. You just say, please excuse me. And with that, you place your napkin on your chair or on the arm of your chair. You just say, please excuse me. As you say, we don't want to know that you stopped for coffee while you were getting diesel, you had a cup of coffee and you're dying to go to the loo. We don't want to know that.
You.
No,
yeah.
No, we don't want to know that. So just say, please excuse me, and off you go. But ideally, you should wait until after the main meal at least.
Okay, even if you're bursting.
Yes. Well, again, you should have been at the venue 10 minutes beforehand and gone to the loo, you see? Yep. I'm kind of pedantic and all of that now.
No, you're dead right, you're dead right. Where did you learn all this, Patricia? You studied etiquette, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. So I've had beautiful, I'm only recently returned from a lovely brunch in New York. So I studied with William Hansen from the English Manor and went over and back for all different venues and training. And I studied with Micah Meyer, who has the finishing programme in the Plaza in New York. So we have these alumni gatherings. And the next one now is in February in Zurich, which will be lovely. And then I was also with Emma Dupont, who's another lady in London. So I just was over and back and did loads of courses with them. Then we'd, you know, meet up every so often. So it's lovely and it's ongoing because we kind of ongoing bounce ideas off each other, etc.
Okay.
So as you can, I suppose, tell, I'm very passionate about it and I just love it because it's just being kind to everybody. It's just being mannerly. And again, if you were somewhere and you didn't know you were out of your depth in conversation or something like that, somebody started talking about oil rigging or something, I could just say, oh my goodness me, that's so interesting, but it's a language I don't understand, please tell me more. Whereas I wouldn't be kind of pretending I know all about oil rigs and all this kind of thing, you know what I mean? So it's nice to be honest and say, you're talking about a subject I really don't know anything about, but I'd love to hear more. So again, it's about being honest and being genuine.
We've had a comment in from a listener who says, Deirdre, it was once a £1 million question on the TV show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire a few years ago. The question was, what way do you leave your knife and fork when you're finished? And the answer was, on your plate at 20 to 4.
So that would be perhaps the different situation. That might be the American setting, because as I say, they're parallel here between your 4 and 10. Whereas here in Ireland, and in the UK and most parts of Europe, it should be 6-12. 6-12 is dead straight down, you know, that your knife and fork are dead centre in the centre of the plate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not over to the left, dead centre.
No, over to the left is, that's what they do in the States.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. It's different. Like, we've got the American, we've got the continental style of silent service code.
Brilliant. Listen, we're going to take a break, Patricia. Have a breather there for a second. And we've got some questions for you. Just to let listeners know, Patricia Maybury is with us. She's an etiquette coach based in West Cork. But she'll be telling us in a few minutes about an event coming up in Killarney. But she is from the Etiquette Suite, which she founded last year. She's on a mission to revive the art of etiquette in Ireland. So if you've got any questions for her, and we have a few already, get them into us on the usual number. Numbers 083 300 3300. Back in a moment.
Talk About on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney. Join us every Thursday during November for Dine in Killarney. For menu and booking details, visit their Facebook page.
Hi, Emma Landers here from Landers Outdoor World. Our Black Friday event is now on, and we up to 50% off men's, women's and kids' fleeces, rainwear and tees. Plus, there's 20% off all backpacks. Find us in Tralee, across the road from Manor West Retail Park, or shop online at landers.ie. That's landers.ie. So hurry, our Black Friday deals won't last long.
My Future Fund. The auto enrolment scheme is coming. Employers, getting ready is as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Complete your profile on the My Future Fund portal in December. 2. Set up a payment method. 3. Run payroll as usual. Contributions start in January. Remember, auto enrolment is a legal obligation. And don't forget to let your employees know if they're enrolled. Find out more at gov.ie/employers AE. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Being homeless, it's not a dry sleeping bag or blankets that keep you going. It's actually a small act of kindness. Somebody who sees you, you know? That's real warmth.
At just 19, Mark found himself homeless, living in a car.
The cold was a killer. Damp blankets, ice on the inside of the car.
Every kind word, every donation, you're reminding someone that they still belong. Visit corksimon.ie today. Give what you can and make Cork a warmer place this Christmas.
Enjoy everyday low prices on pet brands at Maxi Zoo. Get Winalot 80-pack wet dog food for just $39.99. That's just 50 cents per pouch. Or Whiskas or Felix 80-pack pouches for just $31.99. Just 40 cents per pouch. Shop more, spend less, in-store and online now at maxizoo.ie.
Discover the exciting 261 Kia range today at McKelligus Tralee. View their range of diesel, hybrid, plug-in hybrid and the award-winning fully electric range, including the all-new EV4 with a class-leading range of 633 kilometres. Our 261 offers include flexible finance packages start from 0%, free home chargers and a €500 super value gift card, plus our famous 7-year warranty. Offers end soon. Terms and conditions apply. Call to McKelligus Kia today or visit mce.ie.
For daily sports updates from around the kingdom and beyond, don't miss Radio Kerry Sports News every Monday to Friday in association with Ivertech, your local broadband and telephone provider. For the latest fixtures, results, previews and reports from the world of sport, Radio Kerry Sports News has you covered every weekday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Brought to you in association with Ivertech. Providing fast, reliable fibre broadband to Kerry homes and businesses. Book a free consultation today and find out about upgrading to a modern business telephone system. Ivertech.ie.
Got an opinion? Share it with Deirdre. Talk About on Radio Kerry.
Welcome back to the programme. Now some questions for our etiquette coach, Patricia Maybury, who's here in studio with us. There's a lot of questions, Patricia. The first one is it bad manners to be late?
Yes, but you have to be late to a certain degree, in the sense if I was having a dinner party and the invitation stated 8 p.m, never, never arrive 10 minutes before time. That is so, so impolite. So you actually always arrive on time or a little behind. So I think to be 10 minutes late is lovely. If you're going to be later on account of not allowing yourself more time with traffic, etc., then ring or text the person, your host, and say, running late, I'm so sorry, But again, it's about being organised and leaving time to allow for that 10 minutes in the traffic. But never arrive before time. You can arrive on time, but to be 10 minutes is fashionably late is perfectly the norm.
That's okay for dinner parties. Now, a listener said, this is very interesting. Listener says, many people don't use milk jugs in their homes anymore. Also, I'd like people eating in living rooms and not using bread plates. Yeah, milk jugs have become kind of redundant, Patricia.
Isn't it so sad? It's so sad. I mean, you cannot have a plastic container, you know, or those paper ones on the table. No, no, no. I think mealtime should be enjoyed. I think perhaps everybody's rushing out for school, rushing for work. Everybody's in a frenzy. It is so nice if people took time to sit down, get out the lovely milk jug, put your butter into a little butter dish and enjoy the lovely things in life. And to use your bread plate is a plus, and perhaps again come out of the living room with the meal on the lap. You know, it's just bad habits. It's not good for your digestion either, because your posture is slouched. So I mean, to sit at the dining table upright aids digestion as well. Plus, it's more mannerly and it allows for conversation with those around you if you're doing it with a family,
which is so important.
So bring back the milk jug for sure.
And a listener says, should a man give up his seat on the bus for a woman, even if he's not an elderly woman?
I would applaud that gentleman for doing so. And I know everything is gender neutral now and I respect all of that. But if the gentleman feels like offering his seat to a lady, then that's a very kind thought of that gentleman. And I think the lady should graciously accept or say, you know what, I'm actually getting off the next stop, but thank you. But I think if he offers, it would be nice to accept it.
Okay. Another listener says, I was thinking of wearing an off-white outfit to a winter wedding. It's winter, it's kind of winter white, but it's really off-white. Is this a no-no?
It's a big no-no. It's an off-white no-no-no. You just can't. The one day for the bride, she's in white. She might be off-white herself, or she might be a bit of a cream. But you do not wear white, in my opinion, to a wedding. You do not wear white. So that's a big no-no.
Okay.
Let the bride have her day.
Very interesting one now from a listener by email who says, my 12-year-old is going to a friend's house for her first sleepover. Should she bring a gift for the mum?
Yes. Yes. And that is lovely to even suggest that from that listener. So it need not be expensive. This is where people get hung up. They think, oh my goodness, we have to give something expensive in monetary terms. No, it's a thoughtful act. It could be a beautiful little jar of honey from the gentleman down the road who has his beehives. It could be just a lovely, maybe homemade chocolate cakes from the lady up the road, lovely artisanal produce. It could be a lovely handmade bar of soap. So it doesn't have to be expensive, but you're teaching your child. It's nice to give something to the lady who's hosting you for the night. So it's a great show of teaching manners to your young 12-year-old to say you must bring something to Mrs. whatever down the road. Yes.
So you don't really arrive at someone's house with your hands hanging,
never,
as they say.
Never arrive with your hands hanging, never. And it can be just so tiny expensive, but never.
What about, this is controversial and you alluded to it already, Patricia, sending an email or a text instead of a thank you card for a wedding gift?
So there's two grains of thought in that, because we're all sort of doing our bit for the environment, etc. So people are kind of, you know, being eco-friendly. So because I'm the age I am, I'm old-fashioned, I am a letter writer, so I think it's lovely to get the letter in the post. However, I do agree some of the invitations out to weddings are e-invitations. So therefore, if that's the case, the e-reply thank you will suffice in that case. But it's a generational thing, I think myself. It seems very easy to send off the thank you in the email, unless it was a really nice worded email, you know. So again, people just have to understand, maybe people are being very green in that sense, and they don't want to, you know, pay postage and stamp and waste paper, etc. So it's a conundrum, but I myself think letter writing is so way past it now that to receive a card and the thank you card would be lovely for your wedding gift, yes.
Yeah, and I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but even the way people don't send Christmas cards as much as they used to, that really bugs me. I think it's awful that we don't have, you know, look forward to postman coming in December.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's always nice. And to get the Christmas card from the person you didn't think so. And Deirdre, if I may just say, when you are sending your Christmas card, it should be placed in the envelope with the design faced up and the spine facing up as you place it in the envelope.
The spine facing up.
And the design. The design and the spine facing up, so you won't get a little paper cut from the other side, yes.
Oh,
and the person
okay.
opens it, yes.
I'm learning all the time here. The controversial one, should a man always pay on a first date?
Yes, if he is invited, yes. Without doubt. That's me. Yes, if the gentleman has invited the lady for dinner, he pays.
Okay. We're running out of time. I can't believe it because this is all so interesting. But I do want to ask you about the event that is coming up at the Brehon Hotel in Killarney. This is on Friday the 21st of November. Hosted by yourself, is that the correct way to put it? What exactly is happening?
So myself and my lovely marketing lady, Sandra Mabry, I'm married to her lovely first cousin, Tom, my hubby. So Sandra and I are organising this event and I'm having little intimate numbers. We're going to have a Prosecco reception, 4-course meal. And as the ladies dine, I will guide them through, our ladies or gentlemen, I will guide them through from which side of the seat to actually approach first is the thing when you're sitting down, to where you put your napkin, where you place your handbag, to how to navigate your place settings, what happens if the glass of wine falls over. Supposing you get your meal undercooked, if you recognise something that's unfamiliar to you in a different cuisine or something like that, we'll go through all of that, how to handle your cutlery, the silent service code, conversation at the table, how to organise your glassware, etc. And these lovely things, and to go back to manners about no elbows on the table, no taking a bite of food and then a glass of milk. And the one thing, Deirdre, that sets everybody apart at a wedding, if we're all sitting down and we've our bread roll on our table, the way you navigate your bread roll speaks volumes about your dining etiquette knowledge. So that's the
I
one
know
thing.
This one. You don't use a knife. You break the bread roll.
That is 10 out of 10, correct.
Okay.
10 out of 10. And that's very, very good. And then you'd have taken your little bit of butter from the communal butter bowl in the centre and you'd have placed it at, I'm back to the clock again, you'd have placed it at 2 o'clock on the inner aspect of your plate, of your side plate, and you would tear off your bit of bread. And with your butter knife, you would just butter your bit of bread teeny tiny and take a bite.
So the knife doesn't come anywhere near the bread apart from to butter it.
Butter it.
And
we
don't use it to cut.
No, and it's only a tiny butter knife and you butter it low down. You don't butter it up in the air or anything like that. You butter it low down. And just suppose you're at the wedding and your bread plate is on the left with your bread roll and the lovely person next to you takes your bread roll. You don't say, that's mine, give it back. You just, because you'll be showing him up, so you just do without your bread roll and that's okay. You'll have your lunch later on, you'll be fine.
Let him have it.
Yeah, exactly.
The event at the Brehon, Patricia, is, again, as they say, Friday the 21st of November, and there's Prosecco, there's 4-course dinner, and as you say, you'll be teaching everybody about dining etiquette. Tickets are on Eventbrite?
Eventbrite, correct, yes.
Eventbrite, very good.
And also, if I may, Deirdre, I'll be going through other various little tiny scenarios about dress codes, social graces, exquisite entertaining tips, a little bit of business etiquette, etc. So I'll be giving lovely little nuggets of information.
Would you like to see us going back to kind of not quite Downton Abbey, but not dissimilar to how they dined in Downton Abbey?
Well, it was lovely and elegant, wasn't it? Yes.
It was.
Of course, that was very much an upstairs, downstairs kind of thing. But even for a family to just say the television's off one night a week, Friday night, sit down, even get a pizza in together or something, but all sit down together as the family and talk about the day would be advantageous.
Yeah, no phones.
No phones, absolutely.
Very good. Patricia, we've learned an awful lot, I think, over the last half an hour. It's been great chatting to you and best of luck with the business. I know you launched it last year and it's great to hear that manners and etiquette are making a comeback.
Thank you so much for your time, Deirdre, and a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much.
We'll take a break, folks. It's just gone 2:30. Our podiatrist, Anne-Marie Horgan, is up next.